for Kenny and the word that you've given him today. Lord, we pray that you would open up our hearts. Lord, we ask for the word we need to hear today. Holy Spirit, we give you permission to apply the word of God to the specific aspects of our lives where we need to hear from you. So, Lord, we open our hearts up now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. After this week of prepping this message, I was thinking, oh man, I wish I would have spoken on sex last week instead of entertainment this week. This was a tough one. And this morning, just in worship, I felt like, you know, this is the grace of the Lord. We need to sit when we talk about things like this, the grace of the Lord. And I think boasting in the cross and the work of Jesus on the cross is so important as we talk about the things that we turn to. And this morning, I think it was awesome in worship, focusing on the cross. Last week, Brad spoke on sex. If you weren't here, you missed a great sermon. Feel free to go on the website and hear it again. And you can't really see the screen, but it is an old TV. I'm sorry, 1980, and no, sorry, 2015. We're talking this morning on escapism to entertainment. But Brad, really, with the help of you guys last week, really unpacked escapism. You guys really interacted with Brad and shared the things that he was asking. We really got a good grounding last week. The interaction was awesome. Brad shared two different areas where we seek to escape from. One was difficulties and unpleasant realities, and the second was unfulfillment, boredom, missed hopes, and dreams. So those are kind of two different places where we would escape to. Brad's vulnerability, as he shared, I think allowed us to examine our own hearts, as he shared very vulnerably. And it allowed us to seek the Holy Spirit to reveal the things in our own heart and our own life and surrender those to the Lord. And I think it's important to realize why we are escaping. And this often means that we need to slow down the tape in our life, slow down our life, and ask the Lord to show us specifically, to search us and to know us. So yeah, just as sex is a hot topic to talk about, the need to be entertained is just as an important issue. And the opportunities to escape into entertainment experiences are all around us. If you think of media, we think about technology now, it's everywhere. We have the ability to connect socially any place. And it's an ever-changing a world that we live in regards to technology. So I'll give you a few stats, live internet stats, states that every second on average, around 6,000 tweets are tweeted on Twitter. Say that, tweeted on Twitter. It's a tongue twister. And this corresponds to 350,000 tweets per second, 500 million tweets per day, and around 200 billion tweets per year. And when I checked on the Friday night, there were 700 million tweets that had already been sent. And that was around 8 o'clock. The day wasn't done. Each day, approximately 195 billion emails are sent. 4 billion Google searches are done. And 8 billion videos are viewed on YouTube. So that's a lot of media, a lot of stuff that we look at. Statista.com, which is a statistics portal, states that in 2015, the global box office will hit $40.1 billion in revenue. A lot of money in the movie biz. And they also give a top 10 of entertainment forums. And so we're going to do a top 10. Anyone have an idea of one of them? Maybe the 10th one, what it would be in terms of what an entertainment place to turn to. Oh, let's see what it says. Number 10. You have to click 10. Reading. Entertainment. How about number 9? Anyone have a guess at number 9? Oh, playing sports. Let's do number 8. Go ahead. Da-da-da-da. Watching movies. Number 7. Da-da-da-da. Hanging out in the bars, dancing. Number 6. Eating out. Number 5. Simply relaxing at home. Number 4. Attending different ceremonies. Number 3. Hiking, exploring, going for excursions. And number 2, no surprise, TV and the internet. And don't put number 1 up yet. Wait, anyone guess what number 1 is? Sleeping, smartphones, what else? I heard something. Video games, let's see, number 1, playing video games. Number 1, entertainment, turn 2. So we can see in their top 10 that these are not necessarily things that are bad for us in terms of what we put our hands to. But as I was praying for the message, the scripture that kept coming to mind, which I feel is the foundation of today's message, comes from 1 Corinthians 6:12. The New Living Translation says, "You say, 'I'm allowed to do anything,' but not everything is good for you. And even though I'm allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything." I must not become a slave to anything. And that's where we want to, the message today is, I must not become a slave to anything. In the NIV, it says, "I will not be mastered by anything." The English Standard Version, "I will not be dominated by anything." King James Version, "I will not be brought under the power of anything." And the International Standard Version is, "I will not allow anything to control me." So we have mastered and dominated power and control. Let's just sit with the phrase, "I must not become a slave to anything." Everything is permissible, not everything is profitable. And so the question this morning through the message is, are we in slavery to something when we think of entertainment? Are we controlled? Are we dominated? Are we mastered by something that takes us away from resting in the Lord and the fellowship of the saints? And this week as I meditated on the verse, I was looking after Phoebe one day, and out of the blue she comes up to me, and she usually asks me some profound thing. And she said, out of the blue, "Dada, what is a slave?" What is a slave? And I was like, Lord, how would you want me to answer my 5-year-old daughter, what is a slave? And why did she ask me that question? And I hadn't been talking about slavery, I hadn't been talking about the message or the scripture, but she came up to me and I felt it was a profound question for me to think about this week. And it was no mistake, I think, when she asked me these questions. And so I paused and I replied that a slave is someone who is owned by someone else, and this person usually has control over the slave. And I talked about control when you're caught up in something or something. You can't say no to something, usually then you're enslaved to that thing. And so I don't know how much she comprehended in that moment, but we'll wait and see. So what is entertainment, and can we become a slave to it? Dictionary.com defines entertainment as agreeable occupation for the mind, diversion, amusement, something affording pleasure, a performance of some kind, hospitable provision for the needs and wants of guests, of thought that was a really good one right at the end, being hospitable and provision for the needs and wants of guests. So a diversion, something that will occupy our mind for the sake of amusement and pleasure. When I came back to the Lord 10 years ago, I remember having a one-way conversation with the Lord, and it kind of went like this. Okay, Lord, you might have heard this already. I've come back to you, and I love you with all my heart. But please, I don't want to have a boring life. Please don't let me be like all the other Christians that are out there in church that just read their Bible and pray all the time. And that's all they do. And I had this idea that that was a boring life for a Christian. And it bothered me. I wrote that in my journal, and I remember wrestling with that and saying, Lord, well, you have to meet me in that place because I don't want a boring life. I had a pretty exciting life prior to that. And I remember times in our life, in my life, where you'd hear a message from a preacher, and it would be about the evil of music, and I'd go and burn all my secular music only to buy it all back a month later. There's some laughter because people have experienced that. But again, it seemed like that we've always had this tug of war between entertainment and the things of the spirit. And hear me, this morning, I want this to be about moderation. I don't want this to be a law, a thing of law where you have a heavy yoke of slavery, because that's another form of slavery, being yoked by law. I want you to know the grace of the Lord, and he gives us joy and life abundant. But he also calls us to do some things sometimes which are hard for us to face in our life and are hard for us to comprehend. This tug of war sometimes brings us face to face with needing to discern what law is and what grace is. And I believe this is something that we are constantly going to have to face in our life as a believer. And we're going to have to wrestle in our life to reevaluate things in our life, the things that we put into our life, into our mind. And it's crucial that our dependency is on the Lord. We've been talking about dependency on the Lord for a long time now. And it's crucial that we sit sometimes and say, Lord, examine me, examine my life. What am I dependent on? Am I dependent on you, or am I dependent on running to something else? And allow the Holy Spirit to work in our life. I remember early on in my walk with the Lord and the restoration process he had for me, where I was dealing with a lot of wounds, emotional wounds, lots of addictions, and I was saying no to many things so that I could obey the Lord. And I felt God give me the grace in this place to play golf. I'm going to use golf as an analogy. And I played a lot of golf, a lot of golf. Just maybe an outsider would say, hey, Kenny's running to golf rather than the Lord. But for me, I kept saying, you know what? I was saying no every day. Sometimes I was saying no 100 times a day to things that I'd once turned to. And I was saying yes to golf maybe 3 times a week, maybe a little bit more. And it was for a season for me. It was a season of turning to that. And then I had to reevaluate my need to play golf. And I had to stop and say, okay, this is getting out of hand. I do need to go to the Lord. And I had gone to golf for a good reason, but then it had slowly begun to take over. And that would be the first place I'd turn to. Hey, I'm going to get my golf clubs out and go hit some balls around. But I had to reexamine that I was using that as an escapism, a form of escapism. It had become a problem in my life. And so I must not become a slave to anything. I must not become a slave to anything. This morning I have 5 points that I want to talk about when it comes to escapism, what grace is, and from what law is. And this message isn't about me placing, again, a heavy yoke of man on you. I'm going to be talking about my own struggle with entertainment. It was probably applicable that I did this message because I've been wrestling with entertainment for months now in terms of being very open with how much entertainment or things that I turn to. And I've recognized that it's something that the Lord has been highlighting in my life. And so you'll hear that in the message. So it's not about a heavy yoke, but rather us seeking the Holy Spirit to speak to our life, into our hearts. What is it that you want us to hear, Lord? That's what I want you to take in the back of your mind. Lord, what do you want me to hear from you this morning regarding entertainment and escapism? So number one, an idea of rest and refreshment. There's all five of them. We're going to talk about rest and refreshment, slumber and asleep, idol worship, lovers of pleasure, and fragrance. Those are the five things I felt like the Lord dropped in my spirit as I was praying. And so the first one is rest and refreshment. I remember after Paula and I got married, a few years I'd come home from work and it would be a tough day at work. I was dealing with a lot of people's emotional and relational issues and hear a lot of tough stories. And you, sometimes after that, you just feel burnt. You'd be like, oh, I don't want to hear another person's problem. Paula, please don't tell me your problems. But that's really, I felt this was a heavy ministry. And I would come home sometimes and I'd go and sit on the couch and turn on the TV and watch a show, and the show would turn into another show and another show. And I'd feel bad about it and I'd feel guilty. And I'd go to Paula and say, oh, Paula, you know, I'm so sorry that I watched so much TV today. Would you forgive me? And I really need to stop doing that. And she'd say, honey, you work so hard. It's okay to rest and relax. But what is true rest? Really, what is true rest? And the scriptures say in Isaiah 30, 15, and she doesn't say that anymore, by the way. Isaiah 30, 15, this is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength, but you would have none of it. So I wasn't really resting watching TV. I was more or less tuning out and mindlessly watching reality TV, to escape from my own reality. Because that's really what it is, reality TV. And we had experienced miscarriages at that point, a few miscarriages, and I knew that I was having trouble coping and processing the pain emotionally in my life. I was dealing with some legitimate hurts and feelings, and I wanted to avoid the pain. And soon I became a slave to reality shows and movies because I was afraid of the reality that I was in. I would wanted to run away from the pain that I felt to somebody else's reality because I didn't want to feel that reality. So rather than talk about what was brewing under the surface for me or even rest in the presence of the Lord, I tuned out and sought my own ways to rest apart from God and the reality of my life. And this became a pattern of coping, and it still is something that I have to watch. This is the process that I have in with the Lord recently. It begins to creep into my life and begins to wanting to overtake me, take away my rest. And because of that, I most recently have been feeling unrested. I would feel restless. I wouldn't feel at peace or rested. So how about you in this place? Where do you find your rest? Do you feel rested in the Lord? I believe that the Lord is calling us to find his rest in him and to seek first the kingdom of God. This doesn't mean that we live in a cave someplace far away from reality of life. I felt like that with the Lord, and you know, okay, Lord, maybe I heard stories of monks that would go live in a cave for a while, You can't. I felt like the Lord saying, no, not about that. It's about living in reality of the day-to-day life. Knowing your own reality of your heart issues, the things that you're processing in your life. If I turn to another bit of reality, someone else's reality, I'm numbing the things that I need to address in my life. This doesn't mean we live in a cave someplace away from reality, but when we escape out of reality and entertainment becomes our go-to place to unwind, we have become a slave to it, and it has mastered us. So are you a slave to something? And where do you find your rest and your refreshment? And I had to come to a place of that in terms of my rest and refreshment. I had to turn the TV off, and Paula and I actually had a good bit of reality TV in our own life, where we just sat down and talked about the things that we turn to in life. And that was one of the things that I was turning to, and I had to face that reality. I had to come to a place of repentance with the Lord and say, Lord, I repent. I repent of going to that. I want to find my rest in you, Lord. And we began doing that. And I surprised the last couple of weeks, I feel very rested, really refreshed with the Lord. So number two, slumber and asleep. And I felt like the question is, what has lured us asleep? I believe in many respects, the enemy is luring us to slumber and keeping us ineffective for his kingdom work. Because he's got kingdom work for us to do here on earth. And I feel like entertainment is one of those things which captures our heart. And we lose sight of what the Lord wants to do in us. We lose sight of our home that we live in. And we lose sight of the community around us when we're caught up in entertainment. And then we lose sight of, God, what do you have for me to do? We're slowly lured into this place of complacency, of a need to tune out, a place to go to. If we're distracted by seeking out being entertained, we lose sight of the things that God may be calling us to do, and even the spiritual disciplines that begin to fall by the wayside. Romans 13:11. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. I read that again. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than we first believed. Slumber or sleep comes from the Greek word hypnos, which is spiritual sleep. Do we know the times we live? Or are we just entertained by the times? Have we fallen asleep to the reality of the spiritual war that is taking place around us? Or have we been sung a lullaby by the enemy? That felt like that dropped in me with the Lord. Has the enemy been singing a lullaby to us to sleep, make us fall asleep? He's a great deceiver. He's a master of music. And so has he lulled us asleep and kept us in complacency? I'm sharing a lot of my own life this morning because this area in my life has been a place where God is calling me to repentance. I actually felt very uncomfortable talking about how I turned to entertainment because it feels like, oh, I should know better. I shouldn't turn there. I should be able to turn the TV off. I should be able to get unplugged. And it felt, in the midst of preparing it, going, oh, I'd like to keep this secret. The parts where I've turned to, the things that I spend my time at, because it feels shameful. It feels like I've wasted a lot of time. And really, with the Lord, I've wasted a lot of time. If I think of hours of being in front of media, it's a waste of time. I've been lulled to sleep by the enemy. And it's good to admit that. And it's good to walk in repentance of that. So there's no shame in that place. I'm typically an all or nothing kind of guy, and I realized that often during the day, I was checking my phone, I was checking Facebook. Oh, who's posted something? What have they posted? Have they liked my comment? Have they commented on my comment? Have I created a stir on Facebook yet again with my comment? I'd get caught up in playing a game on my phone. I don't know how many games I've deleted on my phone because I've realized, oh man, that's taking a lot of time to play Bejeweled or some crazy solitaire thing. Delete, delete. Before that, I used to read books into the wee hours of the morning. I'd be caught up in this fiction, and I'd be reading and reading and reading, and I'd be like, I gotta get to the end of this book, and I'd read the book in 2 days, a thick book. And then I'd realize, did I spend time with the Lord today? Or did I just read that book? Did I read the Word today? Or did I just read that book? Reality check. Moderation. Moderation. So I'd get caught up in playing a game on my phone. I'd take my phone to bed. I don't know if anyone's taken their phone to bed. Check your messages. Now there's a lot of things in the media which are saying screen time affects your sleep. So the amount of screen time prior to going to bed affects your REM sleep. So you're not really getting sleep. You're not getting the deep sleep you need because something's happening with you visually, with your smartphone, with technology before you go to bed. So am I getting rest? Am I getting refreshment? And this was highly frustrating for Paula, as she grimaces. You see, if I was honest, if I really had to look at that and say what it was, is I was having an intimate relationship with my phone. I was. We can call it something else, addiction, but I was intimately connected to my phone. I was having this relationship rather than relating to Paula. So at night, it was the last thing I looked at, and it was the first thing I looked at in the morning. I didn't turn over and look at Paula. I turned over and looked at my phone, turned off the alarm. Oh, better check the time, better check the weather. Oh, I better check my emails. Oh, I better check Facebook. We have uncomfortable laughter. And I feel shame in that place. It reveals too much in my back of my head. Kenny, you shared too much. But in all honesty, that's repentance. And we got to have no shame. Just as we talked about sex last week, we have to have no shame in facing the reality of what we turn to and saying, you know what? We're a family. I should be free to say, you know what? I'm turning to electronics. I'm turning to entertainment far too much. And it's affecting me. It's affecting my wife. It's affecting my daughter. And it's affecting you. And I'm ineffective because I'm falling asleep. And I've been lulled to sleep by the enemy. So would you help me out of it? That's what we need to say. So it enticed me with a little bit here and a little bit there. And it soon took control over my life and it enslaved me. I could hear the Holy Spirit say in a quiet voice, "Come away with me, my fair one. Come away." Oh, what does my Facebook say? "Come away with me, my fair one. Come away." Oh, who's emailed me today? "Come away with me, my fair one. Come away." And then I'd realize the time spent on my phone and I'd wonder, when did I pray and when did I read the Word? When did I sit at the Lord's feet and say, "Lord, what are you saying to me? And what do you want me to do today? Recently, God has been showing me that I've been lured asleep and put into slumber, being entertained, and rather than just throw everything away, I feel God asked me to find a good balance in my life. He's saying, find a good balance, Kenny. To wake up to the realities of the schemes of the enemy and foster good spiritual disciplines in the place of ever-changing technology, the ways that we connect with others. I've got lots of people I connect to around the world who are friends of mine, who I've met along the way, and this is where we stay connected. Does God want me to throw all that away? He's saying moderation. Where's your moderation? That's a good spiritual discipline, good character building moderation. He wants me utterly dependent to Him, first and foremost. And the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. So in the yearning for the Lord, I awake to the good work that God wants to do in my life and for His kingdom and for His glory's sake. So have you been lured asleep as you ask the Lord to examine you? And are there areas in your life the Lord wants to awaken in you? Does He have a good work for you? Do you know the good work that He has for you? Because it's really good. It's really good. Number three, idol worship. Now, it's interesting, I was talking to Fawn last week, and I was saying, oh, it would be really cool if we did some creative arts thing and I could be sitting here with a big screen TV and people could be around me, and I'd be like, what? They'd be asking me questions, and I'd be caught up in the HGTV show, House and Garden, and be caught up in that and just totally distracted by what the Lord wanted to do. And yeah, that was the picture I got. And slowly the TV begins to look like an idol. So we put like candles by the TV and maybe fruit. We eat by the TV, right? So we put the food by the TV and then we would escape to the idol of TV. When we allow activity to consume us, to have control over us, we've become its slave. That's my message to Phoebe. When something has controlled us, when we're mastered, when we had the inability to turn it off or to say no to it, we've become a slave to that. It's become our master. No longer are we doing it all for the glory of God. Rather, we are doing it to the glory of ourselves. It's a self-pleasure. Interestingly, I heard a quote this week where it said, where we walk, our children will run. Where we walk, our children will run. And this was an ouchy moment for me when I heard that quote. Because when I think, this is just about me relaxing in front of the TV, this is me tuning out, not facing reality, when in all honesty, it's about people watching me tune out. It's Phoebe watching her daddy tune out and not face the reality of life. What would it be for Phoebe to see her dad weep as he faces the pain that he's covered up? What would she think? It's okay for me to cry. It's okay for me to face my own reality in my life. And this, I felt like, is not just our physical children that watch us, but this is spiritual children that we're discipling. So it's not just about me and Phoebe, but this is about my life. And if I really let other people watch my life, how would they give me a report card? How would the report card look in my life? If I was really open with my life and said, Lord, or Trinity Baptist, you're allowed to watch my life 24/7. That's the show, what's his name, with Jim Carrey? Truman Show. Yeah, feel free to watch my life 24/7. See how I do life. Would I want you to do that? And really, in all respects, we should avail ourselves so that people know us and what we do. And if I feel ashamed about that, then I have to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I need to repent. I need to repent of that in the ways that I'm turning, if I'm ashamed of what other people would think. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. This scripture was written in context to cases where Christians might eat what had been offered to idols without sin, such as when the flesh was sold in the market as common food for the priest to whom it would have been given. But a Christian shouldn't just consider what is lawful, but what is good for others. So what is good for others? What is good for others when I tune out from reality and just watch TV? Is God being glorified or others being served? Are others being served and edified? When the things we escape to have become our idols to which we worship, other people and community, as well as God, usually take the back seat. And that's the reality of entertainment. We can also use social gatherings to escape into. It can be our idol, which we can worship, where God is far from our reality in social settings. And though he is with us wherever we go, he is asking us to be mindful of him as we gather together. I think that's, we've kind of lost that. I remember early on in going to church, and we would gather, and most often we would end with praying for each other. We would talk about the things of the Lord. And I think almost we've kind of shifted in entertainment and social settings. We'd rather have the fun factor than actually get together and pray with one another to break bread. We break bread, but can we pray for each other? Can we talk about the things that the Lord is stirring in our life? Do my friends know exactly what the Lord is doing in my life? Have I talked to them about it? These are the things that we should be mindful of as we gather together. It doesn't mean we don't have fun. I'm all about fun. Our house group would say, Kenny's the fun guy. It's about the fun factor. And yet my heart is yearning for us to grab a hold of the things of the Lord. What is the Lord saying to us as a group? What can we do together? Again, it's about moderation. It's about being moderate with the things. So the social gatherings are important, very important, and they're good for us. Very good for us. It's building together. It's building friendship. It's fostering social skills. It's inviting others into our lives. But it should never be used as a substitute for time spent with communing from the Lord. So question, is there something that has taken first place in your life besides the Lord? Number four, lovers of pleasure, lovers of God. 2 Timothy 3:1-5 says, mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. That's quite a list in there in 2 Timothy. And as I was reading that, I felt like the Lord say, do we know that God has prepared for us a banqueting table for us to feast on? Do we know that? That he's laid out this lavish banqueting table to feast on? And do we truly believe this, that his banner over us is love? Or have we rejected what God prefers and inclined ourselves to excess pleasure loving? Have we become a friend of the world? James 4:4 in the NIV says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." The dangers of escaping to entertainment is to become a lover of yourself and a lover of the world. And the things you want to be to do instead of asking the Lord what he'd like you to do. In this place, I sense that we lose true joy. This whole idea of joy, happiness, and fulfillment. I feel like excess entertainment, we lose that. We lose joy. If we have been created to worship the Lord first and foremost, when we become a lover of our own pleasure rather than first being a lover of God, we will never be truly satisfied. We will continually be empty and keep seeking after more and more entertainment. We will have an increased hunger to be filled, and this will lead us to a joyless life. My intimate relationship with my smartphone, terrible, which took over my life, didn't fulfill me. Rather, it stole my joy. I remember there was a gathering here at church, it was last year or the year before, and my phone got stolen from the church. And I was devastated, right? And I had to sit in there, and really, my honest thought was, oh Lord, you did that to me. You did that to me. You allowed that. So I would stop and go, you're addicted to that stupid phone. And you need to leave it. You need to leave that relationship and cling to me. That was my inside voice, which no one has heard ever. Now that you have. And the rest of the internet. But it's true. If I faced reality, it was true. It stole my joy. It didn't satisfy me in the morning. Rather, it just increased my desire for more. And I began to choose it over the love of the Lord. Paula teaches Phoebe scripture. We both teach her scripture during her homeschooling. And we usually use a rhyme or something, a catchy rhythm to help her learn the scripture. And she loves it. She catches on. She'll recite scripture to you. You can ask her, and she'll tell you some. I hope she would. But Paula was teaching her a new song that she learned at work, and it was about joy. And I lost the melody. Oh yeah. So that was J-O-Y, J-O-Y, this is what it means. Jesus first, you are last, and others in between. It's very good. I love that. When we become a lover of God first, and our focus turns off ourself, we see others. We see others. And in that place, God will meet our need and give us the desires of our heart. So are we lovers of God? Are we lovers of Jesus? Or has our own pleasure and need for pleasure taken over our life? Has it taken first place? And lastly, the fragrance of the Lord. So what is the fragrance that we bring today? That was what I was left with as I was preparing. What is the fragrance that we bring today? What is the fragrance that we bring corporately today? Is it the fragrance of social media? Is it the fragrance of TV? somebody else's reality? Is it the fragrance of Pinterest, sports? Is it the fragrance of a social gathering with little to no reference to the Lord? Have we escaped this week, which has taken away the fragrance of the Lord? I've heard countless times where Brad has shared, you know, what we put our minds to, what we put our hearts into, is really what we bring to the table when we gather corporately in worship, corporately in the prayer times. So what we focus on during the week is really what we bring to the table. And I even said in my notes, I took it out of my notes, I was like, I don't even want to talk about this. Let's leave this one out. Because it felt like a yoke of law or slavery, but I really feel that's reality to us, is what are we bringing and offering to the Lord? And what are we offering corporately together? We should be a vibrant, on fire, energetic group of people who love the Lord and boast only in the Lord, who know our weakness so we can boast in the Lord. But when I turn to the reality of someone else's reality, and I've engrossed my life in entertainment, to be connected socially in all of those things, that's what I bring to the table of the Lord. I felt like that's what the Lord was saying to me. That's what you bring, Kenny, to the table. Ephesians 5, 1-2, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for you, for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. And 2 Corinthians 2:15, for we are a fragrance of Christ to God, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. We are a fragrance of Christ to God. As I shared earlier, this is something that I've been challenged with in my life. How I use my time. What parts of reality do I not want to face? Do I want to quickly run to Egypt to be enslaved, thinking that it will save me? Or can I trust God that he is faithful and he will pour out his oil of anointing on me as I seek his face? Because his oil of anointing is fragrant. It's a beautiful thing. Last Sunday, the elders anointed the prayer or the worship team. We anointed ourselves in the back room. We felt like, let's anoint the worship team. Last week, the worship was amazing. Something began to shift. I could feel something shift. It was a beautiful, beautiful aroma last week. The truth is, there are times when I don't trust God, and that is why I struggle with escaping to entertainment. Maybe I'm afraid of what God would say to me if I quieted myself down to listen to his voice. What would you say to me, God? Rather than the voices of the TV screen, my iPhone, Facebook, which don't speak to my soul. Doesn't speak to my soul. If I haven't spent time with the Lord during the week, if he hasn't been my focus and my desire, I have little fragrance to bring corporately. And I need to repent of that. That's something to repent of. I have little fragrance out in the community where I live. I'm too tired to go talk to my neighbor. I'd rather watch a movie or a reality show than invite my neighbor to my home. That's something to repent of. Jesus dwells in me, and that is true. And Jesus dwells in you, and that is true. But I feel if I have polluted myself with so much other stuff, then his fragrance is but a faint reminder that I have been set free to worship the Lord and to yearn for him and for his pleasures for me. He delights in anointing us. He delights in anointing us with his presence. And so there is hope in all of this. There is hope. I don't want to leave the Lord. I want to boast in the Lord and the work on the cross, in the whole area of escaping to entertainment, boasting in the Lord. No matter what or to where we have turned our gaze, no matter what we have been enslaved to and in, the Lord God is gracious. He is slow to anger. He's abounding in love. He loves us extravagantly. If we knew how much he loved us and the banqueting table that he had for us, this banquet of love and this banner over us, I wouldn't want to turn to something that would give me a brief moment of pleasure. I would run to him full-heartedly. And when I'm afraid of what he's going to say to me, what he's going to say to me is, "Son, I love you. Come away with me, fair one. Come away. Come away." The Lord is gracious. He is so gracious. He wants us to have life, and he wants to have it in abundance. This is not a life of drudgery or I've got to go to the prayer meeting. This is about me offering something to the Lord. This is me spending time in the Lord so the fragrance of who he is in me spreads to my neighbor, spreads to the community around me. Do I like coming to corporate prayer Wednesday night? Honestly, it's not my number one. It's not. But I feel God saying, "Come away with me, fair one, corporately. Come." And every time I come to corporate prayer, I'm in awe of the Lord. I am in awe. And this is no heavy yoke. Take it to the Lord. But I'm in awe of the Lord and what he's doing. When Paula and I pray in our home, it's not of, "Oh, quickly, let's pray quickly so that I can turn on the TV or I can go in the garden and work or I can do something else." This is about this fragrance of the Lord that is now erupting in our home because we've chosen to put him first in our life. He wants us to have life and life abundant. And in that place, when we put Jesus first, others second, and we're last, joy erupts in us. He wants first place. He wants to be the first place. He wants to be the place we run to first, no matter what we are facing. During house group this week, someone shared how they were facing reality and the toughness of their situation. And they were saying, "I wouldn't have it any other way." This person basically shared our house group message to us. It was such a deep encouragement, but it was really saying, "This is my reality, and it's painful, and I don't know when it's going to feel differently, but I'm facing it, and I would rather face this reality in my life because Jesus is right there." This person was saying, Jesus was saying to this person, come away with me, fair one, in the reality that you face. And it was beautiful. It was a beautiful gift to our group. And I feel like that's what the Lord is saying. No matter what you're facing in your reality of your life, come away with me, fair one. Come away with me. I want to read, end with Isaiah 30, 15 to 18. And this is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. You said, no, we will flee on horses. Therefore you will flee. You said, we will ride off on swift horses. Therefore your pursuers will be swift. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one. At the threat of five, you will all flee away, till you are left like a flagstaff on a mountaintop, like a banner on a hill. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. I'll leave it for Brad.
It's good for us to stay in this tension, you know, and when the Lord calls us to repentance, it's uncomfortable, isn't it? And it's good. It's good for us to be in that discomfort. And as I was kind of in that discomfort today, I felt like the thing that occurred to me was, I don't know, it just struck me that the alternate reality of entertainment is a counterfeit to the reality of the kingdom of heaven, right? This kingdom of heaven can't be touched, right? And oftentimes as believers, when we can't touch something, it's really hard to connect to, right? It's really hard to emotionally connect to the Lord. It's really tough, and so entertainment is quickly there for us to grasp onto. Something that's more tangible in a lot of ways. I was really struck by that today. How it's almost custom made to draw us into that place where we can be lulled into complacency and slumber. But we're called to put that aside this morning. We've heard a call to put that aside, to prioritize getting past those easy places of. Anesthetizing. Help me out, Michelle. She can always say that word. Anesthetize. We get anesthetized by entertainment, right? And it numbs, and it. And today, I just felt like the Lord wants to pull the scab off a little bit, so we can. Face life, and that he wants to be with us in that place. Amen? You guys getting the same message from the Holy Spirit? And so what repentance means today is for us to say, okay, Lord, I've got well-worn paths to escapism, and today I recognize that. And I want to beat a well-worn path to you. I want to figure out what that means. So today's repentance means today is us saying, Lord, I recognize that. I wanna walk to you in those places. I wanna face things, the realities of life, and experience what you would have for me in that place. So why don't we stand together and we'll just pray together. Lord, we want to confess this morning that we have been lulled into complacency as the church. Lord, we have been anesthetized to our pain. We've allowed ourselves to be rocked in the arms of this world. Well, that's our confession, Lord. And Lord, we ask that you would awaken us to the kingdom realities. The realities of people all around us that you desperately love, neighbors, family members. Lord, that you want us to be engaged with, not running from. And so today we just confess to you, Lord, that we've allowed this to happen. Awaken us, Lord. Awaken your church. We just give our lives to you, our hearts to you. We give you permission, Holy Spirit, to change some habits. Help us to change some habits in our lives. Lord, we want to lay down the areas where we've grown complacent. We ask that you'd reveal what that is. Get practical on us, Lord. And Father, we pray that you would give us courage to walk a new road, to walk a new path, a path of life. Lord, we pray that you would help us to taste and see that you are good, to accept the responsibility that when it comes to being together with other brothers and sisters, it's what we do during the week that we'll have something to share with others come Sunday, come Thursday, come our times to gather together. It's what we do with you, Lord, that means we have something to share. Lord, we accept that responsibility. And so we ask, Lord, that we would meet you face to face this week, that you would help us to set new habits. Help us to turn certain things off so that we can turn other things on in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to leave you in that tension. Next week, we're going to keep going. I know we're talking a lot about practical stuff. Next week, we're going to talk about food and drink. We're going to talk about alcohol. We're going to talk about feasting and fasting and just how we as a people